Now hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. And the neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is he." Others said, "No, but he is like him." And he kept saying, "I am the man." So they said to him, "How then were your eyes opened?" And he answered, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." And they said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." And they brought him to the Pharisees who had formerly been blind. And they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." And the man answered, "Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born in utter sin, and you would teach us?" And they cast him out. And Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And he answered, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." And the man said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" And Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains." The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. You know, if we allow this gospel today to read us, we find several insights about how humanity interacts with creation and with the Creator. And these insights are as true today as they were in the first century. I'll touch briefly on three of these insights: sense-making, resistance to change, and intentional blindness. First, sense-making. You know, we are sense-making beings. We want a story that fits all of our experiences and observations into some sort of rational framework. Jesus and the disciples encounter this man who is born blind. The disciples try to make sense of this observation, and they ask, "Why did this happen?" They engage in the next logical step of our own sense-making: whose fault is it? They want to make sense, and they want to place blame. Was it his sin or his parents' sin? You know, our sense-making reveals how self-referenced we are in our engagement with creation. You know, if I look at myself during football season, I'll put on a maroon shirt, I'll yell at the TV, and I'll even think that I'm making a difference. And if my Aggies win, I'll probably even wear the same socks the next week, just in case that helps. My sense-making begins and ends and is fully centered on me. But Jesus calls us to a different type of sense-making. He responds that God is at work, even in this man who's condemned by those around him and an outcast, a sinner. And the question is not whose fault is this or what is happening, why is this happening? The faithful question is, where is God at work and how is the glory of God being made manifest? In the chaos and the disruption of our current time, we can ask the same question. Where is the glory of God being manifest? Where do we see light overcoming darkness? Where do we see hope overcoming fear? Where do we see love overcoming selfishness? In the coming days, may our sense-making be God-referenced rather than self-referenced. Next, after Jesus heals the blind man, we encounter the resistance of the people to change, even as the kingdom of God is being made manifest among them. Jesus' healing on the Sabbath challenges the very carefully constructed patterns and habits that the Pharisees and the people had constructed in order to contain God, in order to understand and predict God. I invite you to read all of this ninth chapter of John this week and hear some of the comedic element as the healed man asks the Pharisees if they would like to become Jesus' disciple. Hear this thing, "You would teach us." John is actually very, very funny in a comedic way during this time as he points out the resistance of the Pharisees to change. And hear this response of the blind man. "I don't know this and I don't know that, but I do know that I was blind and now I see." I invite you to allow God to show you the ways that you resist, allowing yourself to see the kingdom of heaven disrupting your carefully constructed containment of God. I invite you to consider how you respond when you realize that God is bigger than your theology. Finally, we see our own intentional blindness. Just as Jesus says to the Pharisees that seeing yet choosing to be blind brings about judgment. The judgment that we bring upon ourselves when we see the way of God and willfully choose to remain blind to the will of God. You know, the events of the last month or so have opened our eyes to see. We've dramatically seen the impact of our abuse rather than stewardship of creation. As we see the air above China become clear as the factories are shut down, we see the canals of Venice cleared when the boat traffic stops. Will we choose to respond, or will we choose to remain blind? We've seen our cultural and economic idols cast down. We've seen the impact of selfish consumption. Our lives and routines have been disrupted in a number of ways. And I wonder what we will see in the coming days. Will we choose to respond, or will we choose to remain blind? We've seen the impact of our individual spending as businesses close or reduce hours, as our friends and neighbors lose income. I've talked to several local business owners who are doing their best to remain open, even at their own expense, even without taking their own paycheck, so that the people who work for them may have an income. Will we choose to respond, or will we choose to remain blind? And I'll admit that I wondered whether all of this response to COVID-19 was worthwhile. Was it worth this kind of disruption? Then I read an article in the New England Journal of Medicine describing the choices that the doctors in Italy were having to make as their medical capacity was overwhelmed by critical cases. They had to choose who received care and who was left to die. And in seeing this, I could no longer remain blind to the trauma that our healthcare providers face. And I am willing to endure the economic disruptions if it means that the doctors in San Antonio and other places are not forced to make these kinds of decisions. I'm willing to make a number of sacrifices to support my friends and my neighbors if it means that the doctors in San Antonio and around the United States are not forced to make those choices. I can no longer choose to be blind. And as we continue to adapt to the disruptions and uncertainties of our current times, I encourage you to allow your sense-making to be God-centered and not self-referenced. I encourage you to allow God to be bigger than your mind can grasp, to allow God to change you, to yield to the kingdom of God being made manifest around us and through us. And I encourage you to no longer be blind, but to see, for your eyes to be opened and for you to say, "Lord, I believe," and to worship in spirit and in truth. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.